And now it's my privilege to invite Nino forward for our eulogy for Philip this afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi, Nino.
My name's Nino Romano, and I have been granted the honour to speak on behalf of the family at today's celebration for the life of my cousin, Philip Joel Hughes. Philip Joel Hughes was one of a kind. A young kid from the country who dared to dream big and showed if you set your mind to it, you could achieve greatness. Philip was born in Maxwell Hospital on the 30th of November 1988 to proud parents Virginia and Greg Hughes and brother Jason. He was a large baby, and when our Italian grandfather Vince laid eyes on Philip for the first time, his first words uttered to Auntie Virginia and Uncle Greg was buffoon, which roughly translated into English means large. Hence this was the first nickname that Philip received. Ultimately, this ended up being shortened to Buff, which many of us called him for the years ahead. Philip was a very easygoing baby. He would amuse himself for hours with his Tonka trucks. He had two sets of Tonka trucks, one for inside use and one for outside. When outside, he loved playing them within the dirt. And of course, the dirt was everywhere, mostly on Philip. Both Auntie Virginia and Greg were normal, hard-working parents wanting to ensure that they were able to provide for their growing family. Like the majority of grandchildren, Philip spent a lot of his early years with both sets of grandparents who happened to live only 200 metres away from each other. When at our Italian grandparents' place, Vince and Angela's, Philip participated in the weekly ritual of eating Nan's famous pasta and pizza, often making special requests of Nan, unbeknown to the rest of us, for Nan to make more pasta and pizza for him later in the week. Of course, Nan never refused. Also, from an early age, Philip was taught to fish by Winston and Kay Clues. The Clues family, home backed on the Nambucca River, and Winston would tell both Jason and Philip stories of the monster fish that lived just under his back wharf. Both Jason and Philip spent years trying to catch this monster fish, and as they grew older, Winston's stories of the fish grew larger and larger. It is safe to say the fish hasn't been caught. Philip was schooled at St. Patrick's Primary, Maxwell High, and his final year of high school, he attended Homebush Boys in Sydney, where he completed his HSC. The only grumble Philip had about school was in the final year. After the first day of school, he came home, and when questioned on how his first day went, Philip replied with a very disappointed look on his face. "It was okay, but there are no girls there." We thought that the name of the school, Homebush Boys, may have given an early indication of this to Philip, but alas, no. Philip was a normal country kid who loved the outdoors and sport. He enjoyed almost any sport, including rugby league, athletics, swimming, and of course, cricket. Philip's introduction to cricket was one of great persuasion by his brother Jason. Jason had started to play cricket, and one weekend, the under-10s team he was a part of were short on numbers. Out of pure desperation to play, Jason decided he would ask his younger brother Philip to fill in, as without Philip, the team would need to forfeit the match. On his initial approach to Philip, Jason was met with a stern no, as Philip had little interest in cricket. How, after some initial debate and Jason suggesting that Philip would be a wuss if he didn't play, Philip finally agreed to his brother's request, albeit begrudgingly. On debut, Philip made his cricketing appearance as a tail-ender, scoring 25 runs, and from that moment, he fell in love with the game. That was the start of hundreds, if not thousands, of games of backyard cricket held in various backyards of East Street, Maxwell, spreading from the Hughes' household, across to the Lonigans and Martins, down to the Laverty's, and back to the Bartlett's, and in the Romano's backyards. The ages of the kids playing from all the families varied, and there was no quarter neither asked nor given in these backyard test matches. When it was time for dinner, usually marked by the coming on of the street lights, everyone would return to their family homes. This is where Philip and Jason continued their matches as their backyard was equipped with lights. Unfortunately for Jason, Philip always wanted to bat first in these matches. And at the toss of the cricket bat to decide on who had the choice to bat or bowl, if Philip lost the toss, he would simply say, best of three, best of five, best of seven, best of nine, and so on. Until he won, and of course he chose to bat. In the end, Jason rendered the toss a waste of time and accepted that he would be bowling a lot. Not long after the Hughes family welcomed their third child, Megan, into the world, Philip and Jason adored their little sister. As soon as Megan was old enough, she too was roped into Philip's cricketing world, as each afternoon, after work, Greg would throw ball after ball to Philip in the backyard, and Megan was set the task to pick up all the balls, deliver them back to Greg, and continue the training. Philip was first picked in his representative team at the age of nine in the Nambucca Bellingen under-12s inter-district team. Philip opened the batting and scored 64. The score was an early milestone that Philip cherished and became his one-day international number for Australia. Philip's junior representative career was now in full swing, with Philip leading the Northern New South Wales side to its first ever victory in the New South Wales Primary School State Carnival. In the final, Philip finished with an unbeaten 159 at Waitara Oval in Hornsby at the ripe old age of 12. From this carnival, Philip was awarded his first New South Wales selection. While this type of effort from Philip was becoming all too well known in country cricket circles, it was the first time that the city slicker's tongue started to wag about the little left-hander from the country. Throughout the next couple of years, both Philip and Jason continued to be very successful with their cricketing endeavours. This success encouraged healthily brotherly competition, with scores and averages written down and kept on the fridge for bragging rights. Jason spent hours and hours trying to teach Philip how to calculate his batting average. Unfortunately, with no success. The attempted teaching soon stopped, as Philip was amassing a mountain of runs and Jason didn't want to play that game anymore. Philip also loved to support his little sister Megan, who was achieving a great deal at both school and her chosen sport of netball. Megan made various representative teams that required her to travel to both Newcastle and Wollongong, and Philip was regularly on the sidelines, watching, cheering, and sometimes even coaching. As Philip grew older, his dedication to training also grew. Every afternoon, he would be at the Willis Street Nets in Maxville, Greg throwing ball after ball to Philip, and this lasted for several long months until the Maxville Ex-Servicemen's Club, who sponsored the local cricket club, finally took some pity on Greg and his shoulder by purchasing a bowling machine. In fact, the support of the entire Nambucca Valley community was tremendous for Philip. With the constant training and travelling to cricket carnivals, Greg and Philip formed not only a bond of father and son, but more importantly, as mates, and this never changed. But don't get me wrong, Philip was a mummy's boy, and would call his mum, my Auntie Virginia, every day without fail, referring to her as Mummy, Vinnie, and Mum. When Philip used the greeting Mum, Auntie Virginia knew that Philip needed to talk. Philip idolised his mother and would often seek her guidance and advice as part of those daily calls. After setting all kinds of junior batting records, most of which still stand today, it was time for Philip to move to Sydney, to chase his dream of representing New South Wales and Australia at the senior level. As soon as the decision was made that Philip was moving to the Big Smoke, all the Sydney grade clubs decided to take a leisurely 5-hour drive to Maxville with the aim of securing Philip for their respective clubs. Philip and the family made the decision that the best outcome would be to join Neil DaCosta, who would coach and mentor Philip. Neil had already planned a path for Philip, which at the same time seemed somewhat ambitious, to say the least. The goal was for Philip to replace Matthew Hayden when he retired from the Australian cricket team. Neil openly said to Philip that it would take hard work, dedication, tenacity, commitment, drive, and the ability to listen and learn to achieve this goal, and had one simple question for Philip. Are you ready for it? And without hesitation, Philip said yes. I'm so proud that Philip actually achieved this goal of playing for Australia and indeed replacing the great Matthew Hayden. I was fortunate enough to be at Pratton Park when Philip made his grade debut for West second 11 in a one-day match. As I quietly sat on the grass, there were a number of West Old Boys congregating close to the canteen, which was not too far from where I was sitting. When Philip appeared from the change rooms, padded up and heading out to the middle, the comments started with the first, "Geez, he's small." The second, "Has he got the power to hit the ball off the square?" I had a quiet chuckle to myself at the time and thought, gee, this is going to be interesting. Philip moved to 10, then to the 20s, into the 30s, and passing 50 with controlled aggression. And with each boundary, he gained more and more respect from the old boys. As the innings progressed, the crowd started to build, with the majority of other grades finishing their matches and returning to Pratton Park to watch the little kid from the country bat. When he rose the bat for his century, there was a large applause, and listening to the now comments of the old boys, if I wasn't there previously, you would actually think that there was a 6-foot man batting in the middle, hitting every ball for four. I think this is a great example of how Philip let his performance do the talking. Moving to Sydney presented Philip with a number of new challenges, like moving into a unit at Breakfast Point with two other young men chasing their sporting dreams, Matthew Day, fondly known as Daisy, who excelled at both rugby and cricket, and Cozzy, Matthew Costello, a budding soccer player. On my frequent visits to their apartment, I can tell you cleaning and washing were not strong points for the boys. This seemed to be a theme with Philip even when his brother moved to Sydney some 12 months later. I think I can also add cooking to the list of challenges. And as a result, the boys were on the first name basis with all the restaurants at Breakfast Point and also the pub bistro. One domestic duty Philip excelled at was ironing, and boy could he iron. This was driven by his desire to look good. He loved to buy the latest clothes and thought himself as a bit of a fashionista. He would often spend hours getting ready and certainly loved a mirror. When Philip had finished admiring himself, he was ready to go, with not a single crease in his shirt or a single hair out of place. Philip was always a country boy at heart, but loved the finer things that the city could offer him. Whilst his achievements in cricket gave him opportunities to live in multiple states, countries, tour nationally and internationally, Philip never changed and still called Maxville home. When he got knocked down, he would simply dust himself off, set goals to get better. I'd never, ever once heard him complain about being dropped from the Australian team. His mental strength was beyond his years. And when he faced a situation, he would treat it as another challenge that he would overcome and believe that he would come back bigger and stronger and preferring to pile on runs. To everyone from Maxville, throughout Australia and around the world, who sent messages, gifts and heartfelt thoughts of support at this time of need, our family and friends pass on their appreciation. It is truly amazing that a tragic event has touched so many. Philip simply loved cricket, his family, friends and fans, but was the happiest on the farm with his dad and the cattle. If you're a mate, he was loyal as they come. His generosity was profound, and Philip had great respect for everyone that played a part in his life. As you all played your own part of making him the man he became. I would like to leave you with one final quote that was sent to me by a close family friend post Philip's passing. "He who lives in the heart of so many never dies. I'll miss you greatly, cuz, but I'll never forget you and the great times we shared. Thank you."
Philip Hughes' cousin, Nino Ramuno.